the Fifth. My name is Eddie Lennonstein. Thank you so much for joining me today. Before we get started, as always, I wanted to thank the patrons of the show. Patreon is a place for creators, whether it's a podcast or YouTube show, or maybe you're making music or doing podcast. You know, it doesn't matter. Basically, a place for creative people where listeners or viewers or people that enjoy the show or getting value out of it can throw a couple of bucks in the tip jar and make a contribution. So this is really a shout out to anybody who's given either once or recurring. It automatically is recurring. So we have people that give $2 a month. We have people that give $25 or $35 a month. It's really to keep the lights on, pay for equipment, you know, help be able to put back towards the time and energy and effort that goes into creating this podcast. So hopefully you're getting quite a bit of value out of it. This is episode 73, 74, something like that. So it's definitely been rolling along, sitting somewhere between 7,300 and 8,000 or so listens per month, which is pretty good. It's actually funny, when I went to the podcast publishing service that I use and I asked them about monetization and being able to get advertising on the show, they told me it has to be 100,000 downloads per week or more. I was thinking, man, that's got to be an elite class of podcasts. But let me thank the patrons of the show. You can check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/The Mind and Fitness Podcast. So let me give a shout out to Kim, shout out to Barb, Arnie, Helen, Sarah, Kristen, Stan actually sent me a really nice email that I'm going to address in this podcast. Adrian, Sarah, Brian, Alyssa, Casey, and that is all. So these are basically, you know, again, people that are contributing to the show in one monetary way or another. You can also check us out on Facebook. That's probably even how you're hearing about this. So of course, it's always available. And feel free to shoot me DMs or if you have any questions, email me, eddie@themindandfitnesspodcast.com. There's a lot of ways to get in touch with me. So this week's podcast is a little bit different. I was scheduled to record a show with a listener, and ultimately we just had some technical issues. So we're going to try and get that rescheduled for the future. So this is going to be a solo show, and it's kind of makeshift because we just determined that the issues that we were having just a few minutes ago. So ultimately we'll remedy them and we'll be able to figure them out. So I thought maybe I would do a little bit of a hodgepodge. There's a few things that I want to talk about, one of which is going to be a rant, and this is in no particular order. One of which is going to be a rant on the epidemic nature of TMS and the mind-body syndrome. The second one, I'm going to address Stan's question in an email. And then, and hopefully he's okay with me addressing what's in there, but I told him that I would, and actually he asked for me to do so. So we'll go with that. And then also there was this thread that I put out a few weeks ago on the group podcast, the Facebook group, where people were asking about particular questions to address on the show. So I'll go ahead and I'll bump into some of that. And it's an ongoing thread. It looks like the last time that a question was asked was just yesterday. And I'll basically try and pick up where it was that I left off. So we'll start with Stan, basically. So Stan wanted to know, basically, he says, I'm a big fan of your podcast. I've been trying to work through back pain for some time. Recovery, as they say, ain't a straight line, but I'm making incremental progress. Good days and then not so good days. Anyway, a question that, given your experience in weightlifting and fitness, you may be well equipped to address sometime on your podcast. In Sarno's list of 12 daily reminders, he says, because of my back is basically normal, I must resume all normal physical activity. This is the toughest one for me. Yes, I can walk a mile or more physically, but it is torture. I end up sprawled on a park bench to ease the spasms before I get home. Not fun. Driving a car is usually not an option either, because I often get pain and have to tough it out or just pull over and put the seat down to relax. Needless to say, it's frustrating and it's unsafe, so my wife ends up driving most of the time. I love working in my wood shop, but spasms kick in and I retreat to the floor, rolling around on tennis balls until the pain subsides. I've been there. We have great grandkids that we see often, but too often they see me flat on the floor. Not how I want to be remembered. No need to respond via email, but at some point your thoughts via the pod would be awesome. Okay, so Stan from DC. So here's the deal. And a lot of times in the forums and the Facebook groups, people will ask certain things about certain symptoms that they have. They'll say, I have such and such symptom, whether it's I have recurring acne, or I have back pain, or I have neck problems, or I have circulatory problems, or ankle pain, foot pain, whatever. So really, like, the issue at hand is not necessarily what needs to be addressed. So if it is my back is typically in agony when I'm working my wood shop or when I'm taking a walk and I need to resume all physical activity, I totally understand about being petrified of ultimately the what is to come. I think the main thing for you to focus on is this is very, very tough, and I've been there. And again, I have the utmost empathy for people going through this because I was there. It really needs to be a element, because the thing is, like, if you know that that is going to happen, you can walk a mile, but ultimately you always end up sprawled out on a park bench because the back spasms get so bad. You are anticipating that experience to happen. It's very similar to when you're doing really anything physical and you think this is going to be terrible. It's probably going to be as terrible as you're anticipating. And so the more repetitions that you have in thinking that this is going to be terrible or this is really going to hurt, it becomes so embedded that it becomes the subconscious belief. Like, this is that's the thing that we need to unwind, is being able to do that. And so that's step one, is really not having the anticipation towards it at a conscious level. The more reps that you can get saying that or not anticipating pain and not anticipating spasms and not anticipating issues, the more it's going to unwind, and it's going to take some time. However, working towards it little by little is really going to be the best recipe for you. The other thing that I would say, and I sent you a video. So there was a listener, she had spinal fusion surgery, she had posted something in one of these Facebook groups about having some recurring issues, and it was just a terrible day for pain and all this. And I made her a video. I was driving home from the gym, and I made this video and I sent it to her. And a lot of the essence of it, because I think a lot of times, like, people have a real problem being able to feel your feelings, and it's a very tough thing to do. And so the way that I explained it is being able to actually sort of reach in. You know what? Maybe let's see if this works. I'm curious if this will work.
I just saw your post in the group and thought maybe the easiest way to send you something would be via video. So I'm driving. I just got done with my 6 a.m. CrossFit class. It was a real ball buster. 11 rounds of one clean, two front squats, one jerk, 5 push-ups, 5 lateral bar hops with a 215-pound bar. This is day 5 in a row, and day 1 of that 5 was Murph, so I'm smoked. But nevertheless, so you talked about, like, feelings of anxiety and a lot of tightness, like, in your shoulders and your neck and all that kind of stuff. So the absolute greatest attribute or hack that I have done for myself, and, like, this is going to sound maybe a little, like, woo-woo or wonky, and hopefully it'll make sense to you, but basically, feeling feelings is really tough, and so people sit there with a journal for a long time, and they'll try and write out something. They just don't really feel anything to express, and one thing that I thought of, especially, like, with, so, like, the Iron Man movies, as an example, I think of that, the arc reactor that Tony has in his chest right here. That's almost like the exact spot where a lot of people hold negative emotions. When I say a lot, I'm guessing it's got to be 95, 99%, maybe even more than that. So really what you need to do is be able to channel all of your tension and your awareness right to that one spot. So maybe a good way to start this, and I'll do this for... The thing is, like, you need really deep concentration. So, like, literally, I can only do it maximum maybe 2 straight minutes. And that's, like, might even be pushing it. Maybe 30 seconds to a minute is more like it. But closing my eyes, which I'm not going to do because I'm driving, but if you close your eyes and you just visualize that one spot, the Tony Stark arc reactor, and it's almost like breathing in all of your energy into that one spot. And you want to just have, try and grasp the tension almost as if, like, you're staring at it. I kind of think of, like, if somebody took a push pin, a really big push pin, and stuck it right there in your arc reactor, and all of your connective tissue and all that is just struggling because it's all pried into that one spot. Literally, by just staring at it and really absorbing all of that tension, which is both emotional tension as well as physical tension, keeping your rock solid concentration on that one spot, things in other places will start to get really loose. As an example, I was having a crazy sneezing attack the other day, Monday, and it wouldn't stop. And I did that exercise for 20 or 30 seconds where I'm focusing literally all of my absolute undivided attention and energy to that one spot, and the sneezing attack stopped, just like in its tracks. So give that a shot today and this weekend. Again, it's going to be very, very hard to hold your absolute attention to that one spot, and it's kind of exhausting, to be honest. But give that a shot. Message me anytime. You know, I've got a soft spot for athletes because I was there. I know what you're feeling. So have a good weekend.
So that was the video that I had sent just on a whim to this person. And basically, that's the best advice that I can give, is that I think that the whole idea and element of feeling your feelings is a very easy thing to say, but it's a very tough thing to do in practice. And so, again, I talk about in the video, 1 to 2 minutes is a really long time to hold your attention onto that one spot. But what you'll start to find is that as you do those kinds of things, it's going to start loosening up in different parts of your body, or you're going to have symptoms that are going to go into remission. And the example is the sneezing attack that I talked about, because that was gone, like stopped in its tracks by practicing this. So that's what I would recommend to you, Stan, and that's what I would recommend to really anybody that has questions that are similar to Stan. I think that you need to continue doing the walks, not anticipating the problems, working in your wood shop. If you enjoy doing those kinds of things, then that's the things that you should be doing ultimately. If it truly brings you joy and not aggravation, like, good example, I bought this motorcycle last week, a second motorcycle, and it's had a ton of issues since then, and I feel like I've been working on it nonstop. And in a way, it is very aggravating, but in a way, I know that the reward will be that I'm going to learn a shit ton about this particular motorcycle, and that way, anytime anything does go wrong in the future, I'm going to know how to address it. So just food for thought. So if I go back to the Mind and Fitness podcast, Deleters of Pain is the name of the group, but let's see here. Okay, so there was the one about IT ban and piriformis. I know I answered that on the last one. Let's take a peek here. Okay. How to completely take the focus off your body when in pain. I can easily stop treatments from doctors, but find it less easy to stop treating myself with foam rolling, searching for the latest and greatest anti-inflammatory supplement. It's one of those things where the really the best thing to do and the only thing to do is to just do it. And it's like, it sounds so elementary, and again, I've been there, and there's been multiple times over the last year and a half or so where I haven't done this in a long time, but where, you know, I've had the full belief in TMS and knowing to stop physical treatments, and then my thought is something like, well, if my lats were just a little bit looser, and I may start to roll around on a tennis ball with them. And then one thing leads to another. And then ultimately, I end up feeling worse after an hour or a couple of hours. And so that's just something to be mindful of, is it's really easy to get in that rabbit hole and continue doing this thing over and over again. I promise you, if you focus on doing the things like what I mentioned before with the Tony Stark arc reactor, then I think that you're going to have much better results. So you just ultimately need to stop. There is no anti-inflammatory supplement that's going to do more wonders to your body than your own body. I'm talking the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest part of the nervous system that's ultimately not turning on as much as you need it to. And when I say that, don't go and Google how to activate the parasympathetic nervous system. There's a lot of ways that you can do it, but ultimately the most permanent way and most effective way is going to be the things that I talk about on this show every single week. Which brings me to the next point, is that now that this podcast has actually now been running for more than 1 year, that means a brand new episode every Wednesday for over a year. How cool is that? And it was more sporadic before that. It was basically like I started in October of 2017, went into January, took 4 months off when my second daughter was born, and then a new episode is aired every single week. So there's a ton of stuff in the archives, and people ask me a lot. They'll message me and they'll say, hey, what episodes do you recommend for this, this, and that? And sometimes, like, my responses are, they're flippant or they're vague or they're short. But the reality is, like, I always think that the interviews have a lot of validity. Just read the descriptions on the interviews. And really that's the best thing that I can say, I suppose. So, okay, so the next person, how to stop putting a hopeful timeline on being pain-free. it's just like the one I just talked about where you just have to not. That's really the only way is to not really give it any thought. If you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. It's a quote my daughter uses actually, and I love it because it's perfect. But yeah, if you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. That's really that's the approach that you need to have. So get a little sip of water. Okay. How about the last hurdle of getting from 80% to 100%? 80% feels so good right now. But keen sports people like myself, the years of failed comebacks and demoralizing, but we long for 100% to be able to compete at our best again. You know, I don't know if I would completely subscribe to that notion because I think that you cannot feel 100% I think that it is possible to perform at 100% or greater without necessarily feeling 100% or greater. And what I mean by that is I started reading Dr. Sarno's book one of the last days of June, June 30th, something like that. There was a lot of things that I wasn't able to do physically when all the pain started that, you know, that I was restricted from basically, but I just went, as they say, full send. And I went ahead and I did things anyway, push past physical boundaries. And I was doing things like muscle ups and clean and jerks and heavy squats and all that kind of stuff and performing just as well as I ever had. Even though I still had a lot of tension and tightness in different parts of my body, and I still had occasional nerve things and things like that, because I didn't have the overnight cure. I didn't even have the 1 year cure. I didn't even have the year and a half cure. I don't have anything chronic anymore, but that takes a long time. And so being able to get from 80% to 100%, you can use the suggestions that I talked about earlier in this. I think maybe that's the best way, but it kind of ties along with not having a timeline that it's about anymore. You know, those kind of things and thinking about those kind of things are doing you more harm than good, and they're not really serving you. So I think that those are the things that you need to give just a little bit more thought to. So, okay, so the next one, how to have solid hope that you'll be pain-free and get your normal life back. I see this as a big struggle, biggest fear and hopelessness among others, among most posts, including me. I'm doing work from 5 months, but can hardly sit for 10 minutes for my food after being bedridden and disabled from 5 years due to chronic back pain. Mine is 100% TMS. And yes, I have total belief in doing all the journaling, meditation, podcast, success stories, books. Thank you. So maybe you're doing too much. I think that suggestion that I gave earlier in the podcast and just doing that for 1 or 2 minutes, 1 to 2 times a day is going to be the best thing that you can possibly do. So, you know, looking into this stuff and spending a bunch of time on forums, I'm starting to think in some ways that some of these massive Facebook groups that have so much dialogue that's going back and forth, I think maybe for some people they could really be keeping them stuck and going on the TMS wiki and trying to find all these things and continuing to read books. Like, it may just be doing more negative than positive and being able to stick to the basics. I think a lot about, I mentioned a motorcycle earlier, you know, motorcycles and cars used to be built very simply, right? And then once you started adding in different computers and a lot of different layers and a lot of different specifics and ways that it was built and things like that, it's just more stuff that can go wrong and more stuff that that ultimately can't sustain the life of that machine. Now, we're not machines because we have emotions. We feel things. But you can certainly overcomplicate things. So maybe reducing instead of adding things is going to be best for you. So the next person, this is actually a patron of the show, but I enjoyed your last episode. I'm thinking up a question. If your little girls have pain, like a tummy or leg pain, not anything caused by injuries or infections, how will you go about exploring their repressed emotions and help them understand the connection? Beautiful question. Probably my favorite one yet. So, I think the whole idea is to try and be as preventative as possible with that. And so I've talked about it on the podcast before, but the way that I parent, when I pick up my kids every single day from school, Zoe, who's the older one, she turns 5 in a month, and I'm going to try to not lose my marbles and cry my eyes out when it happens. She graduates from pre-K this Friday or this Monday. She's going to have a little cap and gown, and it's going to break me, I can tell you. But nevertheless, when I pick her up, she sits in her car seat. Before I pull the car out, I turn around. I say, Zoe, what are you feeling today? Or Zoe, how are you feeling today? And she will tell me, and most of the time it's happy, but occasionally, once a week or so, it's sad. Or maybe it's angry. And, oh, you're feeling sad. And it's not a why. Why doesn't even have to be asked. But I'll say, oh, you're feeling sad, and clarify, you know, probe to clarify, which is something in sales that the good salespeople should do. Shout out to Logan because he's a salesperson too. But just being able to ask, oh, you're feeling sad. And having her elaborate on that. And normally she'll go into a story and tell me about, you know, a kid that laughed at her when she fell, or a kid who ruined a puzzle that she was making or something like that. Being able to get it out and her to be able to express those kind of things ultimately is not going to lead to the repression. And I feel like with children, especially young ones that are under the age of 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, the more that I can expose her into going there and talking about the things that are negative or unpleasant or causing poor sensations, things like that, the more that that's going to be an automatic habit for her to feel these things and to actually express those things and talk about those things. It's just something to consider. That would be the best that I can say. If she did say that she had a tummy ache, like sometimes she comes into our room and she'll say that she has a stomach ache. This might happen like once a year, so it's not very often. I don't have a ton of practice in the reactive, the reactive behaviors with stuff like this. But if she did, I would probably just sit there and hold her and tell her it's going to be okay. Tell her, ask her what it is that she's feeling, and I bet that she would start to cry and be upset. And I would probably say, are you feeling sad? And she would probably say yes. That's just my guess. So if it happens sometime in the future, I will be sure to report it on the podcast. But just knowing my child and the way they react to things, that's what I feel like would happen. So great question. Okay. How do we explain to other people around us? Whoops. How do we explain to other people around us who have seen us break down so often in the last 10 or 20 years that we are fit and ready for a return to sport? All they know of is the results of the MRIs and the fear diagnosis we received from neurosurgeons, not the TMS discovery and journey. These guys have helped modify everything around us to assist with the pain. Even my own family find it hard to get their heads wrapped around my recovery and willingness to return to sport. I know they're going to continue to ask, but I honestly don't know if it's much of their business. I had a lot of instances like that where people were assisting me with things or helping me with things, or they were so used to me talking about my pain, they'd ask me, what happened? And I found my solution. And if I could even take it a step further and say, I found my solution, it's a psychological issue. And they might probe and they might not, and they might think I'm weird and they might not. But ultimately, that's up to you. If they worry, that's on them. And if they have fear of what it is that you're going to do, that's on them. I certainly was not ready for my athletic career and pursuits to end at the age of 30 or 31. And I know that I'm not going to be ready at 40. I'm not going to be ready at 50. I'm not going to be ready at 60. I still want to be riding my motorcycle around and being active at 70 or 80 years old. That is the plan. And that is ultimately what's going to happen. And the reason that's going to happen is I have less fear about myself and my probability of getting injured, my mortality, really anything that you can point a finger at or shake a stick at, I have more confidence in that than I ever have in my life. And so I know that things aren't going to be around forever. And I think that it's an interesting correlation where this is the longest stretch by far that I've ever gone without since I was 14 years old, of not having some kind of a pinching or aching pain in a knee or an elbow or a shoulder. It just doesn't happen anymore. And I think it's because I know the root. So it's like, there's no sense in the body going there. So that's what I would say. Okay. One more, or actually maybe let's just finish out the three. There's three left. And then what I'm going to do is comment on this thread and say, okay, I addressed all of the ones in this thread. So keep them coming, almost like a bookmark. So, how to keep the belief during those getting worse before better times. Two steps forward is so encouraging, but often that one step backwards can feel so demoralizing and feel like back to zero. What you're describing is, catastrophizing, catastrophic thinking. And this is very normal. And it's probably how you got here in the first place. With me, I think that a lot of the things that I would do when I would feel certain pains is that I would catastrophize. What does this mean? What am I not going to be able to do? How much am I going to hurt? How long am I going to hurt? All this kind of stuff. And it's just such a bad place to go in. And the thing is, you need to have that attitude that I've talked about so much on this show of it is what it is. So Nicole Sachs had this great story last week on her podcast where she talked about her daughter saying that she felt like she had a knife stabbing her in the back. And Nicole explained to her that it's a sensation, and that's all that it is. And that's, again, all that it is. So that's what it is. Even if it's a full day of feeling terrible, it's a sensation and it will move through. You need to work on the confidence level and not having it bring you down. That doesn't exist and doesn't manifest out of positivity and the power of positivity, but really just the confidence and then being able to do some of the feeling of the feelings that I described a little bit earlier.
So breaking the conditioning we created over the years of pain, especially the really unconscious ones. For example, when anything touches this spot on my leg and back, it causes pain, or going into this yoga position hurts a certain spot on my leg or my back. I'm not consciously thinking these. It just happens like a natural reaction. You're probably bracing in some sense. It's, again, this is where habits develop. When you think something so many times, it becomes an unconscious habit. There's something that Nicole Sachs said on my podcast 2 years ago, where she had said that if I sit around thinking that I'm a piece of shit all day, then I probably am a piece of shit. That becomes an unconscious habit. It's no different than every time that I go into this pose or I do this squat or whatever, I'm going to have pain. You're anticipating the pain in some way, shape, or form. And so again, just like I said a few minutes ago, this is where the full send portion comes, is actually just doing it and trying to forget, and this is going to take a little while to unwind, trying to forget that it was ever there in the first place, that sensation is there in the first place. And the more frequently that you have those kind of sensations, the more often you need to go to the well of what I talked about earlier in this episode. 1 or 2 minutes, once or twice a day, will be more than enough. And I think that the best time, I think, of day to do that is right before going to sleep. It's easy to just lay there and focus on that area in your sternum and do that kind of a emotional release or an emotional thought. That's what I would give you. So this is either a really deep, okay, this is the next one. This is the last one. This is either a really deep question or a basic one. How do you feel your feelings while doing journaling? I'm realizing now that I think I'm so good at repression that I'm not sure I actually feel them. My wife says that I'm a combo of Sheldon Cooper and Dexter without the killing. That's perfect there. So, if I can remember, I will make it the image or the podcast art for this episode. But I was Dexter in 2012 for Halloween. It was either 2012 or 2013. I think it was 2012. Might have even been 2011. It was one of those times. It was a great costume. Worked flawlessly, especially with the kind of shape that I was in at the time. I think it's very tough to feel feelings while doing journaling, because I think it's tough to hold your attention in two spots at one time. So that's something to consider. Maybe what would be a better idea is if you split it up, and maybe you did, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes of journaling out issues, things you're thinking about, stressors in life, you know, all the things basically, and then stopping and thinking of the exercise I gave earlier in this episode. 1 or 2 minutes of doing that feeling part in your Tony Stark arc reactor in your chest. That might be a good idea to basically round that out. So that is all I have for you for this week. I'm actually going on a boys trip at the end of next week. And so I will be gone Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So I'm going to record this podcast on Tuesday. And I would love to have an interview, find a time to interview somebody. I actually have some free time coming up tomorrow as you listen to this on Thursday, as well as a little bit, not much availability on Friday, and then some on Monday. So if you've got a story to tell, let's see if we can get some time hooked up to do a podcast recording, and you could be on the show just next week. So this is Eddie with the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Thank you so much all for your time. Love you all. Take care.